Just a couple of weeks ago, I happened to be close to the place where I was born, which is in the southwest of the Netherlands, near Rotterdam. And as my parents are buried in one of the graveyards in my old birth town, I had some spare time, so I thought, let's bring a visit to the gravesite of my parents and even my grandfather and grandmother. And as you do, and as it is in your birthplace, of course, you see a lot of names that you say, I knew this person. There was the man who had the cycling store in town. He died only 65 years of age, and when you pass through his by his grave, you think, huh, three or four bikes were bought at his business. He was a kind man. He was a gentleman. He was always ready to help you. If you would be a little bit past the times that he was working, then he would still help you. So, as I traveled over the graveyard, different names, different stories came to mind. Today, we want to visit also the bones of someone that we know from Scripture. Let me read from Genesis chapter 50, verse 24 through 26. Genesis chapter 50, verse 24 through 26. It says, and Joseph said to his brethren, I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land of which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. We are introduced here to Joseph. And what do we see when we look at Joseph? We see a man of faith. He knew it. He had found it. And he believed it. What was it? God is faithful. Again, verse 24, and Joseph said to his brethren, I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land of which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Joseph was convinced. He knew it. To him it was simple. To him it was easy. To him it was like one and one is two. The story had been told to him. God will bring you into the promised land. And of course, when we look at Joseph, what do we see when we look at his life? He was unjustly treated by his own family. He was unjustly treated by his own brothers. They wanted to kill him. One of the brothers was brave enough to say, no, let's not do that. Let's put him in a pit. And then when the slave traders came by, they said, let's sell him to Egypt. Can you imagine being sold by your own brothers and your own sisters? Knowingly. Then, of course, we know what happened when he was in Egypt. The wife of Potiphar says, lie with me. But he said, no. He got into prison as a result of it. When he was in prison, there was a light because he could interpret the dream. And Joseph said, remember me when you come out of prison. There was a light for him, but the light dimmed quickly when they did not think about him when he came out of prison. My brothers and my sisters, Joseph's story is sometimes also our story. Joseph's story, trials, temptations, hardship, difficulties, things that happen in life that are not fair. But when we look at Joseph from the bird's eye view, we see a man. At least the scripture doesn't testify of it. That was holding something against his brothers. He even said God meant it for good. Joseph was able to see the bigger picture. Joseph was able to see beyond the trials and the temptations of life. And even when he was dying, he gave a great testimony. Take my bones with you, because I know that God will take you to the land that he promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. His faith was not focused on the things of this world. His faith was focused on God and his promises. And brothers and sisters, today we are living in an age in which certain people will say, you know, if you become a Christian, your health will be much better. Your bank account will grow. All things that are not as good will turn out for the better. That is what we hear nowadays many times. And people even get disillusioned when they see that life is not bringing those things that certain people promise them. What is interesting in this story is the following. When Joseph came to power in Egypt, he was able to save and provide them for them in Egypt. Although the Jews would settle for 400 years in the country of Egypt, Joseph knew that this was not the land of possession. There we see the great work of God. Because is God working in your life? And the answer is yes. How is God working in your life to the fullest? How is God working in your life for the good of your own soul and for the good of the souls of other people? So in the midst of all the trials, Joseph was able to see the great work of God. Amidst the challenges, God was still mightily at work. And brothers, that is important for each one of us. Because sometimes when we look at the things that might happen in our lives, we might get down. But if we live by the blessed faith, if we live by that faith that the Bible talks about, we see the great diamonds and pearls that God is providing for us in our lives and in our hearts. And so Joseph says it. Again, we quote from Genesis 50, verse 20. God used it for good. Joseph wasn't only focused, or Joseph wasn't focused on the things that happened to him. He said, God meant it for good. And that, brothers and sisters, is a lesson in and of itself for us even today. Can we see the things that God is doing in our lives, in our hearts? Can we give testimony to those little things, to those big things that God is doing? And so now, in an act of faith, Joseph said to his people, take my bones with you. Then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, even an oath saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. 400 years, 430 years passed till the moment came that this would happen. So Joseph, he knew that Egypt was not his homeland. Egypt was not the place to be. It was a place of slavery. It was a place of bondage. He knew that he was going somewhere else, and he insisted on being buried in the family plot in the land what was then Canaan. And this act of faith of Joseph would remind Israel, regardless their state, this is not your home. Regardless their state, Egypt was temporary. In spite of being in Egypt, he trusted in the wisdom and the goodness and the providence of Jehovah. And so his bones were still speaking. We talked about that this morning by the act of encouragement. Wasn't it a great act of encouragement to the people of Israel? It might take so many years, but I know my bones are going back to the promised land. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13, verse 17 through 19. Exodus 13, 17 through 19. Then it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God let the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you. So now, 400 years later, the bones of Joseph were still speaking. The bones of Joseph were still speaking. Moses led the people out of Israel and said, brethren, remember what Moses said. Moses had an oath with you. Under solemn oath, it says in verse 19, Joseph was assured of something better. Joseph was assured that he would be buried in the promised land. God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you. And so, Joseph, led the people of Israel in a very tangible way to the promised land. Yes, it was Moses, of course, the lively Moses that brought them into the promised land. But by implication, by the promise, by the oath that Joseph had taken from the people of Israel, Joseph was the one that led them in a very tangible way to the promised land, the land of rest. Joseph went home. What a story of hope. What a story of faith. And brothers and sisters, is that not what we need today?
Yes.
We are all pilgrims and strangers in this world. When you truly live that deep committed life and obedience to God, it can sometimes be hard. It can sometimes be difficult. It can sometimes be challenging. And of course, when we look at Hebrews, the whole 11th chapter, it's as if all those heroes of old are sitting in that stadium and you are running. You are running the race of life. And all those heroes of faith are crying out to you, "You can do it. We did it." You can do it, even though you might be treated unfairly. You can do it, even though there are difficulties in your life. You can do it, even though there is hardship in your life. This is what Joseph is telling us even today, because his bones are still speaking today. He left a legacy. He left a testimony. He said, "I believe in something better. My hope is in something better." That is what we need today as well, my brothers and sisters. We need to be the kind of people like Joseph. It's not about this life. It's about God and His promises. That's the key. We just read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 12, when I start reading in verse 11, "For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh." What happened to Jesus? Was his life easy? In one way it was, because he trusted in God. In another way it wasn't. Opposition from beginning to end. Difficulties, hardship. Verse 12, "So then death is working in us, but life in you." Did you catch that when we were reading 2 Corinthians chapter 4? "So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, 'I believed, and therefore I spoke,' we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God." If Christ was raised, we will also be raised up with Jesus. Our bones will one day be resurrected. The Bible says, and I don't understand it, but the Bible says it, The bodies will be raised. The bodies will be changed. It will put on incorruptibility. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, we do not know what we will be, but we will be like Jesus. Isn't that something? Joseph knew there was something better. We know there is something better. We know that if we have been raised with Christ, we will be raised with him and we will be like him. Joseph was convicted. He knew it based on the promises of God. And we may know it today, my brothers and my sisters. Joshua chapter 24, the story continues. Joshua chapter 24, verse 31 and 32. Joshua chapter 24, 31 and 32. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. The bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel had brought up from Egypt, they buried at Shechem in the plot of ground which Jacob had bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and which had become an inheritance of the children of Joseph. Joseph's bones are not only home in the promised land, now they are also buried in the promised land. 400 years had passed. And again, there is a testimony that goes out from the bones of Joseph. And the bones, they help us to understand, they stand as an emblem of hope in God and faith in God. That was the true destination for Joseph. And now, of course, the question, how is that for you? How is that for you? What is your purpose in life? What is your focus in life? When we look at Joseph, faith and obedience to his great God, because he knew his God. The question that we ask today, what is your destination? What is in your mind? What is in your heart? Where is your focus? Where is your allegiance? We have said it often and we'll say it again. Life with God is good because you know your destination. Life with God is good, not because when we look at this life, many things can happen and will happen. Psalms chapter 73. Psalms chapter 73 has the following words. Psalms chapter 73. Let me start reading in verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet have often stumbled, almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And again, we ask the question, is life with God good? And the answer is yes. Does that mean that life will always be good in the human sense of the word? And the answer is no. However, when you look at verse 17 of this same psalm, it says this. Or let me read from verse 16. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. So the Bible writer said, the psalm writer says, when I considered all of that stuff, that the wicked, everything seems to be going well. It was too painful for me. But then he says in verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Brothers and sisters, we have to think about the end. That's really the only thing that truly counts. We have to think about our bones. That truly is the only thing in the end that really counts. So what is your purpose? Where is your vision? Where are your thoughts? When your thoughts and your visions are on this world, you will go up and down. When your faith, when your vision, when your allegiance is with God, you will be stable, looking towards the end. God is faithful. And the bones of Joseph is a testimony to the faithfulness of God. We have one more passage. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instruction concerning his bones. And so, the book of Hebrews, again, the people, just imagine yourself being in a big stadium. As you live your life, there is Abraham, and he says, Ramsey, you can do it. I did it. God was with me. There is Noah. He says, Emmanuel, you can do it. Don't worry about this life. God will be giving you what you need. You will make it. Whatever your trial, whatever your difficulty is in life, you will make it. And so, we can go around. We can call all of your names, including my own. And we can look up into that stadium, and they're all saying, you can do it, because we did it. Because God was with us. Because God gave us beautiful promises. Because God is faithful. Because God cannot lie. Brothers and sisters, it only means one thing. We need to be busy thinking about the end. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus. Key. Very important. Looking unto Jesus. Who? He is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. As Jesus said in the book of Matthew, don't worry about your life. I know what you need. I know the food, the shelter, the clothing that you need, you will get it. You will get every single part of that. Don't worry about it. Focus on Jesus, who for the joy, the end, the finality of his faith was set before him. How could he endure the cross? Be focused on the joy. How could he despise the shame? Be focused on the joy. And then sat down at the right hand at the throne of God. Brothers and sisters, we need more men and women like Joseph. Because now we're making some final application. We need men and women that lead their families like Joseph led the family of Israel in hope, in faith in God. We need men and women that tell their families, this is not our home. There is something better. There is something greater. We need men and women that impress that reality upon their families. We need men and women that leave a legacy of faith and trust and hope in God. We need men and women that are remembered at their passing when they visit your grave one day. What will they say? What will they say? He was a man. He was a woman of hope and faith in God. Be an inspiration to those who carry their bones to their final resting place. We need to be reminded this world is not our home. We are just a passing through. Men and women like Joseph. That is what we need today. Inspired by the Word of God. Inspired by His promises. We don't know what we will be like, but we will be like Him. Amen.